keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high.
There's always gonna be enough.
Always.
Who's ready to break new ground? There you go. You're ready to break new ground. Of course, when we talk about breaking new ground, we're talking about expanding our territory. If we want the same results you had in 2012 for your life, then continue to do what you did in 2012. But you're wanting God to add something new, then you got to change something up. And say, God, I want to change some things up that I can grow. I can expand everything that you want for my life. I want to expand my vision. I want to expand the blessings that you have for my life, for my family to walk in a new destiny. And so breaking new ground is about that. We've been talking several weeks since the first year about this, and we're going to continue, of course, today, and we're going to stay on this thought. Two weeks ago, we talked about walking in our spiritual authority, where we realized that we must step under the things of God in order to step over the things he's placed under my authority. And when I step under God's authority for my life, I then become over in authority the things that he's placed under my life. When I step out from under God's authority, I step out from over authority for the things God's placed under my life. Pretty simple, isn't it? I step back under God's authority, and then I walk over authority the things that he's put under my life. And we know, according to scriptures, that we don't wrestle always against flesh and blood. There's just times in our life that we wrestle against evil spirits, against principalities, according to what Scripture says. And we say that saying this morning, that we don't believe that there are evil spirits hiding behind every corner just to pounce you. But we do believe that there is times in our life when we as Christians can sense that an evil spirit, a demonic spirit, is trying to attack our home, attack our lives, attack our marriage. And we have been given the spiritual authority, according to Scripture. It says that we can stand up. It says, you stand up to the devil, resist the devil, and he must what? Not that he might flee. It says he must what? Flee from you and I. So this is a very much spiritual truth, that the devil must flee from us. Today we want to talk, last week we talked about managing our flesh, and we talked about learning to speak over the things that our eyes have seen, but no one else has seen. Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard all the plans that God has for you and me. And there comes a time as we manage our flesh that we got to speak over our flesh the things of God. We got to come into agreement with the things of God in our life by speaking over our flesh. And sometimes we just got to put our flesh under subjection, right? We talked about last week that many times we're not battling demonic spirits. The thing we battle the most is our flesh. And we got to recognize the difference that God has called us to manage our flesh. Is it right if we stay with this flesh thing? Because I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting really to communicate something here when it comes to us dealing and managing with our flesh. And we're going to spend some more time today talking about it as we talk about, do you shut the door on your flesh? Shut the door on your flesh. Let me just say this today, that one thing I know that to be true, that all of us have battles. All of us have issues. Correct? You got issues, I've got issues, and there are things that we're battling with in our life. And it's time that we come in and stop pretending like we got it all together and just admit that I don't have it all together. That there are things in my life that I struggle with, and there are things in your life that you struggle with. I mean, what better place than the church of all places should we be able to come in and take off our mask and admit it, that, you know what, I got struggles in my life. Far too long we've allowed, because we're in church, I can't admit that I got struggles because people see me as weak. And it's time that we take off our mask and just be honest with each other and say, I've got struggles, you've got struggles, but the good thing is we know somebody who can help us overcome, and that we can overcome the struggles we have. But let me just tell you this, first of all, struggles are a sign of a good thing. They really are. If you have struggles today, anybody have struggles today? That's a sign of a good thing. Struggles are a good sign in your life. Because that means that you are battling with the will of the Father in your life. That you're battling with, that you know some things need to change. You know some flesh, you got some flesh problems that you need to deal with. And so battles are a good thing. That means that you're hearing the Holy Spirit say, you know what, you need to change some things in your life. You're hearing the Holy Spirit say, not everything's coming into alignment the way it needs to be. Just as if you're driving a car and that car is out of alignment, what'll happen? It'll pull hard to the left or to the right. Or you'll get up to a certain speed and you'll feel that wheel begin to shake. And you're like, man, there's something not right here. There's something out of balance. Just in our own life, we realize that when things aren't aligned up with God's will for our life, we get out of balance. We'll feel a pull one way or the other. Or we'll feel a shake going on. And we know that, you know what, there's something out of balance here I need to address. Because when I get out of alignment with God's plan, last time we talked about it, the Holy Spirit, at salvation, the Holy Spirit goes to God, and God reveals to him all the plans that God has for our life. And he comes back, and he's in my heart, he's in my life, and he knows the will of the Father. And as he's revealing that will of the Father to me, if I step out of something that is not right with the will of God for my life, I should feel a battle going on. So if you are facing a battle, I say congratulations. Good things are happening. That's a good thing. The danger is when you don't feel a battle going on. If you stop having a battle, then there's a danger in that because you have then become complacent enough where you don't even notice the struggle. The things that used to bother you don't bother you no more. Not because you don't struggle with them, but the fact is you've given up trying to try. And there's a problem with that. Just like in our life, you ever taken your car in and you had a flat tire or you had something going on and you look on the outside of the wheel and you're like, there was that much tread left on the inside because your tires wouldn't rotate right or it's out of alignment. The whole inside of your tire was down to where the wires are showing. I mean, there's that much difference sometimes, you know, in your tread from the outside to the inside. And you're like, man, I didn't know that. You had gotten so used to driving your car a certain way, it just felt natural to you. You didn't notice the pull one way or the other. You didn't notice things were out of line. That's the same thing in our life. If we continue to give over our flesh and let our flesh rule, we'll quit battling with our spirit and flesh, and then the danger comes that we just give up and stop battling. So if you're battling today, that's a good thing. That means the Holy Spirit's working on the inside of you. That means your spirit is battling with your flesh on trying to get your flesh to come under subjection to the will of God for your life. So turn to your neighbor and say, the battle's a good thing. Struggle's a good thing. And we all struggle. And we got to quit trying to act like we don't. Have you ever tried to rebuke the devil out of your life only to find out he doesn't leave? Devil, I come against you in the name of Jesus. And you rebuke that devil out, and then you still struggle with the same thing? Maybe the problem is not a demonic problem, and the problem is my flesh. Because if it's a demonic problem, if it's an evil problem, that thing must leave me according to the spiritual authority God has given me. When I rebuke the devil, he must flee. So if what I'm rebuking out of my life is not leaving me, maybe my battle is not an evil spirit. My battle is my flesh. Don't look at me like I'm the only one that battles with my flesh. Some of you said, man, I didn't know it was going to be this rough today, Pastor. But turn to your neighbor and say, you just better hang on. It's going to be good. As we're talking about dealing with our flesh and being honest and saying all of us struggle with dealing with our flesh. But we don't have to. We can bring that thing under subjection to what God wants to do. But there should be a struggle there. Whatever you see your life, if you want to see your life wrecked, if you want to see your life out of control, if you want to see yourself losing things out of your life that are valuable to you, I must tell you the recipe for that is this simple. Let your flesh rule. Let your flesh rule. Because my flesh is selfish. My flesh is lustful. My flesh is full of pride. My flesh is full of fear. My flesh is full of envy. My flesh, if I allow my flesh to rule, it will take me down a path of destruction. when I allow my flesh to rule, it will destroy my life. That's why it's important that I bring my flesh back under subjection to what God wants to do in my life. That way I can allow the Spirit to rule my life. And so today we're going to continue to talk about it. How do we do this? Scripture says that my body, your body, as a Christian, is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. We're called as our bodies as a temple. And God intends for my body to be what? He says to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I've seen a few sacrifices, and none of them were easy. They're painful. There's a reason why they call it a sacrifice. It hurts to give up things. It hurts to put my flesh as a living sacrifice. It hurts to take my fleshly desires and place them under God's authority. That hurts. It's not easy. It can be a painful thing. But we're called to do it. We're called to allow Him to do a work in our life as a living sacrifice. Sacrifices hurt. Let's get into our text today in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to spend the majority of our time here in Galatians chapter 5. Let's start off reading verses 16, 17, and 18. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's say again. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, look what it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary. They are doing battle one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's what Paul said, wasn't it? The very thing I know I shouldn't do and don't want to do, I end up doing. This scripture goes right along with that, because his flesh was battling his spirit. He says in the last line, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so today we realize this. Number one, these two things hate each other. Our flesh hates our spirit. And our spirit hates our flesh. I mean, they are constantly rivals. This is worse than the Raiders versus the Chiefs. This is worse than Mizzou versus KU and KU versus K-State and OU versus Texas. This is worse than anything. They hate each other's guts. They wear T-shirts saying, you know, pointing the signs down. I hate the Holy Spirit and I hate the flesh. I mean, they wear them around all the time. They are in contrary with each other. They are constantly battling each other. And we must recognize that. There's a battle going on. So that's why it's okay that you feel a battle. You feel a struggle. That should be a natural thing. Because they are struggling. Our spirit is struggling against our flesh, and our flesh is trying to push our spirit out. Because they both want two different things. God wants to change you. And we say, God, yeah, you want to change me. And we cry out, and we come in and playing our song. We're like, yeah. Singing my song, and the Holy Spirit speaking to me about changing, and I'm like, yes, Lord, hallelujah. God, I feel you like I've never felt you before. They turn the lights down low, and I can worship, and they're playing my song, and God's changing me, and I'm like, yes, God. He's snotting everywhere, and your people are like, what's wrong with you? And I'm changing. God's speaking to me. He's changing me. And then we leave out of here, and a day or two later, we're doing the very thing we said we were not going to do. Isn't that so true? The very thing we said was going to change, we're doing the opposite. We're doing the thing. We're going right back to it. And we're struggling with that thing. And you notice the whole time when you're doing that thing you said you wasn't going to do, the Holy Spirit's whispering in your ear, man, you're dumb. Am I the only one the Holy Spirit speaks to me like that? Because the Holy Spirit speaks to me that way. He's like, man, you're dumb. You're making a stupid mistake. You just said you're going to change, and I showed you a vision of how it would be if you would change, but yet you're going back doing the very thing you said you weren't going to do. And the Holy Spirit's like, man, you dumb. Dumb as bricks. You know where this is going to lead you. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. You know. And so there's this contrast. That's a good thing. It should be a contrast happening there. There should be a war of things happening there because Scripture says they are contrary to each other. Let's keep reading Galatians chapter 5. Let's read 19, 20, and 21. It says, when you follow the desires of your what? Flesh, and you let your flesh rule, the results are very clear. They list the things that follow us allowing our flesh to rule. It says, when you allow your flesh to rule your life, this is what happens. sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Verse 20 says, idolatry happens, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. Verse 21 says, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this kind of life will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. And so let's make it very clear that when you give over to your flesh, according to verse 19, you're dealing with lustful sins. That's what it says. When you give over to your flesh, you're going to deal with the lust of your flesh. The lust of your flesh is going to get you in trouble. The lust of the flesh will take you somewhere you don't want to go. The lust of the flesh will tell you it's okay, and you'll cross the line you shouldn't cross. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. That's what happens when I let my flesh rule. It goes on to talk about also in verse 20 that when I give over to my flesh, this deals with rebellion. It says idolatry and sorcery. What is sorcery connected to? Witchcraft. Scripture says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So it's a rebellious spirit that puts other idols before God. God, I'll do my own idol. God, I'll worship this. God, I'm going to tell you what's number one. God, I'm not going to put you number one. I place other things above you. These things are going to occupy my times. My career, my family, my money, my this. And we do all these things to be placed above there. It's rebellion. I'm selfish. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfishness, ambition, dissension, division. These are all things that come basically to strife, man. Strife. We deal with strife. When we allow our flesh to rule, strife is going to rule our life. You're going to have outbursts of anger. You're going to have jealousy. You're going to have things ruling your life that shouldn't be there. You know, we're called to pass through the storms, isn't it? Scripture talks about us passing through storms of life and how God carries us through the storms and he wants to walk us through the storms. But the problem is this, that many of us, as Christians especially, we walk and pass through our storm, and on the way we go through, we take some of this, and some of this, and some of this, and we carry that storm with us for 20 years. And it causes envy, it causes grief, it causes outbursts of anger, it causes you to be bitter in your heart, because you've passed through that storm, the thing God wanted you to pass through, you stopped and took things along with you. And when you walked to the other side, you really wasn't on the other side of that storm. Because you've been walking through that same storm for 20 years, because in your heart, you have not walked in forgiveness. In your heart, you're still angry and bitter about what happened in 1992. You're still upset about what happened in 2001. And God intended for you to pass through that storm, and you've taken that storm and put it all inside here. My flesh does that. You know what they did to me? I'm going to get mine someday. And I put all that storm in my heart. What am I doing? I'm feeding my flesh. And what's going to come out of that? Quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfishness, ambition, dissension, division. Anger, jealousy, jealous in your heart. I mean, we face jealousy. I don't face jealousy, Pastor. Yeah, until someone gets a promotion that you were wanting at your work. Come on, let's just be real. Somebody gets a promotion at work that you thought you deserved, what do? You get in the lunchroom, you're pouting a little bit, and the person that has the ear of the boss, you sit there and go, well, you know who got the promotion? They got the promotion, but did you know this? They clocked in 5 minutes late. And they clock out 15 minutes early. They're cheating the company out of 15 minutes every day, and nobody even knows about it. I'm here early. I clock in 10 minutes early, and I clock out 15 minutes late. I'm giving the company 25 extra minutes a day. And you're already trying to plant seeds to get that person skipped over for that promotion because you thought you deserved it. And it happens. It does. Let's be honest. It does happen, and it hurts. And it's hard to deal with. But when you give over to the lust of the flesh, it will cause jealousy to rule your life. You ever notice how it's real easy to clap with somebody when they're being blessed? Come on, we're like, God's blessing them, hallelujah. And God's raising them up, and we're like, yes, amen. We get the ugly face. Let's get the ugly face, Chase. You ready? Hallelujah. God's good. God's raising Justin up. He's blessing him, Justin, hallelujah. God's good. until God starts blessing him more than I am. And then jealousy comes in. I'm like, whoa. Wait a minute, God. You're blessing Justin a little too much now. It was all right until you got to my level. But now you're blessing him beyond where I've been blessed. And I've been coming to Destiny a year longer than Justin ever has. And I've been cleaning the church and doing things that nobody else ever gives me credit for. And we get jealous. People be clapping with you. Yeah. And then as soon as you get past them, whoa. It's the jealous heart that comes out. And we've got to be careful. Our lust of our flesh, when we give over to our flesh to rule, jealousy comes out and will eat you up like a cancer. Jealousy will take over your life. God, you blessed them. When am I going to get mine? And this jealousy comes. Lord, you blessed them with so much. And man, I've been struggling over here. And we let jealousy come in. It makes you, what, quick to anger. Outbursts of anger come out of your heart. We've got to put our flesh under subjection. God, you're blessing them. God, I thank you that you're blessing Justin more than you bless me. Because, God, I know that you're going to continue to bless me. You bless me so much, and you're going to bless me even more. And right now, I celebrate with Justin because Justin's been through some struggling in his life. Justin has been battling his way, but, God, he's in a season of blessing, and thank you that you're blessing Justin. That's the mature thing to do. That's putting my flesh under my spirit. But the immature person says, God, when am I going to get mine? Why are you blessing him? Letting our flesh rule. We've got to learn to put our flesh under subject to what God wants to do. Let's keep reading today. We know jealousy will destroy our life. You know what a lot of, back in the scripture, look at the very last verse. It says, these people who do these things, let's make it very clear what it says here. It says, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want to make it very clear. I'm not speaking a legalistic message today. If you know me, you know I am full of teaching on grace. And I believe as a church, we've got to have a grip of grace, God's grace in our life. And God's grace is so much bigger than what we can ever think or imagine. I can't wait to go back this year. I did a series a couple years ago on grace, and I want to go back and revisit that and bring some new stuff to you. Because I believe it's one of the most important foundations in our life is to have a grasp of how big God's grace is in our life. So if you know me, you know I'm not legalistic at all. And that's not what I'm teaching today, is that we are saved through legalistic. Matter of fact, the scripture is very clear. It says these people who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't say they won't go to heaven. It doesn't say they're not saved. But what it is saying is this, is that they will not inherit God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Basically what it means is this. Those people who walk in the spirit of not letting your flesh rule, they will not receive everything that Dad has for them. They're not going to walk in the full blessing that God has for them. God wants to bless you abundantly. God wants you to live in this abundant living that he talks about throughout Scripture. He wants to anoint you. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. But he cannot do that when I'm letting my flesh rule. He says those who put their flesh under subjection to the Holy Spirit, he then what? He can allow you to align up with the will of God in your life, and he will use you in a great and powerful way. So let's don't mix it up. I want to make it very clear what I'm talking about here is that when we allow our flesh to rule, doesn't mean altogether that I've lost my salvation, because I don't want to preach that today and say, man, is he preaching this legalistic thing? No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is this, you will never experience everything God has for you when you allow your flesh to rule. Plain and simple. Those people who do not allow the flesh to rule, they will suffer great loss. They will suffer much bitterness. They will suffer many things in their life that allow the lust to rule in their life, lust of the flesh. But they will not inherit all the blessings God has for the life. Let's keep reading today. Ephesians 4:1, look what it says here in Ephesians 4:1. Paul said, therefore, I am a prisoner serving the Lord. Look what he says to you and I beg you. He's saying, I plead with you, man. I drop down on my knees and I say to you, lead your life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. He wasn't talking to the pastors. He was talking to all of us that we have a high calling, that God's got the kingdom of God that he wants to bring down and for you and I to inherit, for you and I to walk in the kingdom of God in our life. And he says, but I beg of you, walk worthy of the calling. Lead your life worthy of the calling. Bring your flesh under subjection. If you have a high call in your life, I do, you do. God's got a call on your life. Every one of us. God has got the destiny, a purpose, a divine calling on every one of our lives. And if you have a high calling, you know it, then you need to act like it. You need to walk like it. You need to speak like it. You need to dress like it. You need to serve like it. You need to love like it. Out of this, they will know our dedication to the Lord. We're made up of three parts. I need some help here today. Pastor Matt, give me a hand here. Justin, you want to give me a hand this morning? Pastor Joe, you give me a hand? Let's go. And let's go. Body. I want to make sure I give the right person the soul. Okay, there we go. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a soul man. Da-na-da-da-da. All right. It's all about soul. According to the prophet Billy Joe. Amen. All right, there we go. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. All of us have three parts. Body, soul, spirit. Body, soul, spirit. We have three parts. And this is what we've got to realize. At salvation, when I accept Jesus Christ into my heart, my spirit has become redeemed. Scripture says, my spirit is redeemed. That when I accept Christ, I have been made righteous in my spirit through God's grace. Immediately, my spirit is redeemed. But my soul, which combines my mind, my will, my emotions, those things are in the process of being redeemed. It says we are transformed by what? The renewing of my mind. It's an ongoing process. As long as I'm a Christian and I'm alive, there is a renewing happening in my soul, my mind, my body, my will, and emotions. They are in the process of becoming like Christ. They're not like him when I first accepted Jesus. It's a process of me growing and learning and changing and saying, God, I am becoming the person you want me to be. It's a process. My spirit is redeemed to salvation. My soul, my mind, will, and emotions are in the process of being transformed. But my body, my flesh, it will never be transformed until I get to heaven. Scripture says we will receive a new body when? When the trump sounds, man, we who are left behind will be caught up together. Those who what? Have gone before. To meet him in the air. And it talks about the new bodies we're going to receive as Christians. We will receive a body as of Christ. Like Christ. And so my body will be renewed. Pastor Joe is going to have abs. Amen. He's going to have a mullet again. We're all going to have hair. He's going to come. He's going to restore it back. I just feel that right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give God some praise right now. Hair is going to be restored. Abs are going to be restored. But this is a problem. Whatever my body went through before I was saved, my body is still capable after I'm saved. My spirit has been redeemed. My soul is in the process of being renewed, redeemed. But my body, it says, I still want to do the things I know I shouldn't do. My body, my flesh, still wants to act out and do the things that I think bring me pleasure. That's why I've got to bring my flesh under subjection to the spirit, because the Word of God says the spirit and the body, they're coming to the soul and they're battling. Put your arm around him. I want you to do this. Now, Pastor Matt, put your arm around him. No, this way. This way. No, this devil. Hey, this way. God's got a will. Well, I've got a will. God's got a will. Well, I got a better will. God wants this. Well, I want to give you this. And we're always battling. They're contrary to each other. They're battling for us. You got to recognize that. There is a conflict going on. So which one of these things is going to rule? Let me give you the analogy of this. If all three of these young men were puppy dogs today. I just bought them from somebody, the same owner. Three puppies from the same litter, same age. And I put two of them, soul and body puppies, into a little bit small cage. And I give them just a little bit of water and maybe some cheap, little bit of canned dog food. Just a little bit. Cheapest thing I can get, not very much. But the spirit, I go buy the best pedigree food I can get. and I put the vitamins in there, and I give them a big old bowl. I even put their bowl on a lever where they just have to push it. And get as much food come down as they want all the time. Shake it. You get that thing going out there. You know, this. And I take the spirit out, and we go running, man. We're walking and running and exercising. You know, we're going down the street, man. We're exercising. And the rest I leave in a cage. I never walk them. I barely feed them at all. Which one's going to be stronger? The spirit. The light's going off in some of your heads right now. So if I want to be ruled by the spirit, I've got to learn to do things that what? Feed my spirit. If you're struggling with your flesh all the time, maybe we got to look and say, what am I doing to feed my flesh? What things am I doing to feed my flesh? What things am I watching all the time to feed my flesh? What things am I listening to all the time to feed my flesh? I feed my flesh, it's going to get stronger. I feed my spirit's going to get stronger. That's why when we did the 21-day challenge, I asked you to join me in 21 days, not only in fasting things and prayer, but I asked you even to join me in 21 days of just listening to Christian music and worship music. Why? Because I know if we can just listen and put into our mind the things of God, worship, it will change you. It will build up spiritual muscle in your life. Now, I'm not against other kinds of music. If you know me, I'm a very diverse guy. And you know me, I love 80s, man. I love 90s. I love all genres of music. Really, I do. There's not too much that I don't like. But I have to recognize that I've got to feed my spirit above anything else. And I recognize that. I know. There was a time in my life when I didn't have anybody discipling me. I didn't know, but I knew I wanted to change. And I was like, the Holy Spirit said, get rid of this and put in this. And so I started changing my diet. And I become spiritually stronger. What about the atmosphere? Is atmosphere important? Yeah, because our atmosphere changes. What people we hang around, is that important? So, if I hang around certain people, everybody I hang around will feed one of three of these things. We're all influenced by somebody. We're all influenced by somebody. So what are the people you hang around? Do they feed your flesh? Come on, man, let's go do this. No, I've given up drinking, man. I'm sorry, that's not for me. Oh, come on, man, it's one time, man, it's one time. Don't be a killjoy, man. Come on, let's do it. Come on, come on. Let's get up in the club and hear. Come on. And everybody's singing, you know, the roof's on fire, and you're like, no, the whole house of God is on fire. Hallelujah. You're battling inside you, but I'm thinking, come on, man. Who am I hanging around? Are they feeding my flesh? Or I hang around people who say, you know what, Pastor Matt, man, you can be better. And you can become a better father. You can be a better husband. You can read God's word and it can be revealed to you. And man, God's got a call for your life. God's got a destiny. I'm excited about the growth happening in you. And I'm excited that you're able to admit that you have some areas that you're struggling with. But God's spirit is pulling you out. And when you hang around those people, what are they doing? They're building my spirit. I made a decision early on that I was going to hang around people who were going to build my spirit up. And I had to cut out some people in my life who were very close. I had to cut out some people who were very negative and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow these people to have an influence on me in my home. Every time, they were good people, Christian people, some of them. But man, they just got around them and seemed like it was always negative. You ever feel that before by people? Sometimes you got to cut some of those people out because they're feeding something in my life. The atmosphere, man, I got to realize the atmosphere I create is either feeding my spirit or it's feeding my body, my flesh. What are you doing in the atmosphere? Are you creating the atmosphere? Let's give these guys a hand. They did a good job. Thanks, guys. Today in closing, we've got to realize this is an exciting thing. I love this one. Matthew 18:20 says. It says, if any two or three agree together. I want you to get this now. If any two or three gather together in his name, what? There he shall be. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me last night, and we think about this with people, right? And I think that's the way it was generally used and what was being spoken over. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if we can get two to agree, if I can get my body to come under subjection to what the Spirit wants to do, God is going to be there. God's going to show up. You ever want to have church on yourself, by yourself? I've had those times where I had just nobody around me and I had to meet God. I needed to hear from God. I needed to encourage myself in the Lord. And there wasn't nobody else that could do it for me. And I had to bring my body into agreement, my flesh into agreement with the Spirit. And when I did that, it was like open heaven. God came down, man. He met me in a powerful way. He ministered to me in a powerful way. He was there. We got to learn to shut the door. Let me read this last scripture to you today. In Romans 13, 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says here. And make no provision for the flesh. This is our command. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That means you and I have got to put our flesh in places that we know won't harm us. That means I got to cut out people in my life who pull me the other way. I got to cut out things in my life that pull me the other way. I've got to shut the door on my flesh and say, flesh, you're going to come back into alignment with what the Spirit of God wants to do in my life. I'm not leaving room for you to pull me out. I'm not leaving room. I'm not making provision for a way that you can pull me out from what God's will is for my life. Today, we got to learn to shut the door on our flesh. How many are ready to do that today? Are you ready to do that? Amen. Let's bow our heads real fast this morning. And I just want to ask you this question before we go any further. It's a question that we like to ask almost every week here today. And every week on a Sunday, we like to ask this question of, are you right to meet Jesus? Maybe you're here today and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And today you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We will not embarrass you in any way at all. Nobody's looking around but me. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and today you want to make that decision. Or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago. And say, Pastor, I prayed that a long time ago, but today I want to come back and renew my commitment to Jesus. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Nobody else will see it but me. Can you raise it up and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise it high. Thank you. Anybody else today? That's me, Pastor. I want to join these people today. Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. One more time. If you haven't raised it right now. Say, I'm ready today, Pastor, to give my life to Jesus. Give my heart to Jesus. We're going to say this prayer out loud, and as Christians, we're going to say it along with you. Those who raise your hands today, repeat this prayer with us. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you all of my life, all of my sin, all of my hurt, all of my dreams, they belong to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Before you leave today, make sure you stop by the back. We've got a free Bible here in the information booth. Some other things to tell you what you need to do next. It's just the beginning. It's not the end. It's just the beginning of a new journey. If you don't have a church home, you need to be around people who can support you on your new decision. What are you going to feed? Okay, you got to be around people who can help feed into your spirit, encourage you on your journey, your new decision with Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. If you're here and say, Pastor, man, I want to learn, continue to learn to put my flesh, close the door to flesh in my life and put my flesh under subjection what God wants to do. I want to invite you to come down to the front and join me here as we sing this last song. As you come to the front this morning, you're saying, God, help me to put my flesh under subjection to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. I'm coming up and I'm taking the mask off and saying, I don't got it all together. Scoot in close, guys. Make room for those coming in. Thank you. Now look at me. I know, well, today preaching where we live, man. Sometimes it's hard to hear those words, but it's so important that we quit trying to blame the devil and everything and say, God, I just got to learn to get some discipline in my life, put my flesh under subjection of the Holy Spirit so that I can experience everything God wants to do in my life. Today we're going to sing a song that says, Sons and Daughters of the Kings. And today I want you to know you are royalty today. He's called us princes and queens of the kingdom of God. That we're sons and daughters of the King. That's why I talk about it. Let's act like it. Let's walk like it. Let's talk like it. We've been called of God. Sons and daughters of the King is what he calls us. Today, let's proclaim this truth out of our mouth as we sing this song. Come on, Chris.
Love walked among us. Love laid down his life to steal sin from us. Oh, when love has a name, it's Jesus crucified, alive today. Lift your voice and sing it out for all that's held us down. Where is it now? Where is it now?
Love.
Watch for the walls that trapped us in and held control. Lift your voice and sing it out for all that's held us down. Where is it now? Where is it now? Let's lift up our heads. Glory has risen. Open our heads. We've been forgiven. Nothing can shut what the Father has opened. Nothing can lock what the Father has broken through. Let's lift up our voice. Joy surrounds us. Sing and rejoice. The King's come to crown us. Nothing can shut what the Father has opened. Nothing can lock what the Father has broken through. For you.
Come on, proclaim it today.
Sons and daughters of the King, lift up your voice and sing. The drove in darkness out. When Jesus rose in might for doubt. Oh, sons and daughters of the King.
Come on.
Won't you lift up your voice and sing? God's brought us victory. We've been set free. Yeah. We've been set free. Yeah. Let's lift up our heads. Glory has risen. Open our heads. We've been forgiven. Nothing can shut what the Father has opened. Nothing can knock what the Father has broken. Let's lift up our voice. Joy is surround us. Sing and rejoice. The King's come to crown us. Nothing can shut what the Father has opened. Nothing can knock what the Father has broken through.
Sons and daughters.
Sons and daughters of the King. Won't you lift up your voice and sing?
Oh,
love drove the darkness out of any road.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray over every person here that, God, we would learn, Lord, to put our flesh under subjection. God, we'll learn to feed our spirit, man. Father, we'll learn to allow our flesh to come under subjection of your Holy Spirit. God, I believe you are doing something great in our midst. God, you are changing us. God, you are developing us. And God, you're calling us out, Lord, to step to a new level, to break new ground. And God, we are learning, Lord, to put our flesh under subjection. So I pray for every person here this morning that, God, you are allowing them, God, to step into their God-given destiny. You're allowing them, God, to walk in their spirit, the spirit man leading them as their flesh comes under subjection. Father, I speak in authority over their lives today, God, that they can put the things of God that they've been placed over under them and walk in control of their spirit. In the name of Jesus, walk in control of their flesh in the name of Jesus. And we say it together, amen. Come on, put your hands together if you agree with that today. Yeah. God bless you today. Try to get someone a big hug or a big high five and say, man, it was good to be with you today. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock for those who are involved in leadership. Be here at 6. We'll see you tonight.